You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is here, starting off with my man, Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
Doing well. You know, just trying to get it while it's here to get.
Like that one. Mm-hmm, I ain't heard that one before. I like that one.
Hey, man, you know.
Too wise words from too short.
Yeah.
You know, don't.
Not exactly.
Like well, close.
Y'all out here just leaving money on the table. You can't do that.
Not at all. Hey. Y'all get to that paper.
Mm-hmm.
My man Longevity is in the building. How are you, sir?
Great.
Yeah?
Thanks.
Like the hat.
Thanks.
Shirt as well.
Thanks.
Nice outfit.
Section leader shirt.
Gang. I say the all three.
Three of them, yes. Three of the gangs.
Collector's item. You can't find those anymore.
No, yeah, actually, you
can't.
A lot of gang activity out here. My man DJ J Diff in the building. What's happening, man?
What's going on?
Yeah, let me say what's happening, man, first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on, man.
Want to run it back?
Yeah, let's try it again.
All right.
My man DJ J Diff in the building. What's happening, man?
Salutations.
Thank you.
How do you like that?
Much better.
All right.
I think you broke a streak there.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
It's another one of them sayings.
Yeah.
Oh, I ain't going to say what type You're of saying.
Skating on thin ice, buddy.
Hey. you better get on the ball.
So I've been hearing about Atmos. I watched the video. I guess it's some form of mixing that is about to be a standard, industry standard. And one thing I didn't know is that it's become a requirement for playlists on, I believe the young man says, Spotify and Apple Music.
Just
Apple Music right now, where you have to have this mixing or whatever prior to getting listed on a playlist. And also, he talked about the rig that he'd have to get set up for himself. Right. Now, I'm not that well versed on it. I watched some of the video, but it sounds like this thing is going to be a big deal. And the way the young man in the video was talking about it, it's not in the infant stages. It's starting to rapidly increase.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what's your take on it? Because I know you posted this, but had you done a lot of research on it before watching the video?
A little bit. I've been paying attention to this space a little bit. Shouts mm-hmm. to M2. Shouts to Malcolm. He's got me hip to it. He actually shared this video, and I went and checked it out. And the reason why I shared it and why it might be something for us to talk about is because it's apparently Apple Music is requiring all future playlisting. You have to have an Atmos mix.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they won't playlist your song.
February 1st, it came out that you will no longer get playlisted on Apple Music unless you submit your music in Atmos. Now, this is a huge deal for independent artists.
Which is kind of paywalling it to a degree, if you think about it. And so that's the angle that I was thinking about. But okay. But what it is essentially is, it's just, think of surround sound, but just on steroids. So speakers here, left, right, reverse, subs over here. So it's giving you a fully immersive sound. So that, like, when you listen to music, it's like you get a fully immersive way of listening to music, mm-hmm. essentially. And so it's supposed to be really cool, supposed to be really good. I don't know if it's really going to blow up like everybody says that it is. I'm curious about that. You know, we could make the same argument, like surround sound didn't really blow up like we thought it was going to.
Because it's still expensive.
Exactly. And this, and to your point about the guy saying, hey, he has to buy new rigs, to buy a rig to mix in Atmos is expensive.
That was going to be my question, because he talked about how this affects...
We're talking five figures.
He was saying how this affects the independent artists as well, because...
Yes.
You know, if you get lucky and try to get playlisted, if you don't have said equipment, you know,
or you got to pay for an engineer that is doing
to
that.
To mix it in that, right?
M2 Studio and Atmos.
He's
studio.
He said that he's yes, he's got an Atmos studio. I've been over there once, but not since he's had it. He's like updated it.
Mm-hmm. This is new to me. Like, yeah. I was asleep on this whole concept.
Well, again, the thing that stands out to me is like the fact that it is essentially paywalling,
mm-hmm.
you know, like artists already have it hard enough, and Spotify's even recently launched like their discovery program that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just another way to, it's another way to, yes, it's pushing technology.
Right.
And I'm guessing Apple has a certain amount invested into it, but it's a paywall, and I, you know. Seems like an early, seems early.
So let me ask you this. as an independent artist and someone that's a creative or someone that's trying to be progressive, do you think at this point, based on what you know, it's a smart investment to go ahead and try to put your pennies together to get a rig for this? As a producer yourself?
No, as a producer, no.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think this is mixing.
Okay, so this is something where I can still mix my records as such and send them to Atmos engineers or whatever and have them. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's what it is. No, I've got no interest in like getting an Atmos setup. I don't even like mixing and mastering as it is. So this is,
you're good at it though.
The interesting thing is, the only thing that interests me about it is because I do like scoring related stuff, right?
Ah.
And so I've been thinking about buying like the premium version of like the DaVinci suite, you know, that's got all of the Fairlight technology built into it. For that, it's interesting to me. But as far as mixing records,
right,
I'm not sold on the experience being worth the cost.
Okay.
You know, like if I put on a set of headphones, am I really going to experience Atmos like that?
No.
Right.
Because you remember,
all your equipment probably has to match what this is doing. So you got to have Atmos
earbuds,
headphones, earbuds, speaker system, surround sound.
Yep.
It's just like when the Beats by Dre joints came out.
Beats by Dre were never that.
I used to try to.
They were just loud and had a lot of bass.
I made the mistake because I copped and I was on the wave and I'm like, yeah, man, I'm about to get some Beats by Dre just to mix
it.
Extremely bass.
The Pioneer bass over the heads was a lot better than the Beats by Dre's, in my personal opinion.
But I knew homies that produced or creatives that copped because they were Beats by Dre. Like people just walked around, obviously, just to have Beats by Dre.
Bose was always a standard for me. If something sounded like Bose.
Yeah.
Then it was hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bose was the high end. But even though Bose wasn't high end when it comes to studio related equipment.
Right, right.
I've heard one of my best friends has one of those, the bars, like the Bose.
Sound bar.
Sounds amazing.
No, for sure.
Right? Like it sounds.
It throws sound too. So like it'll, this one speaker in front of you, you can hear stuff behind you.
Yeah.
And that's similar to what the Atmos stuff is doing. Okay. Like except imagine listening to a Prince record and you hear that.
Hmm.
So I think, you know, I feel like there is probably.
It's probably an experience.
Sound like we need to do a field trip, huh? Mm-hmm. Check this out.
But my whole thing is this. What if this really doesn't catch on?
Like surround sound.
That's fair.
I mean, look, and some of y'all, you got to realize, even if you had the money to buy one of these rigs, I listen to professional, and this is something I've picked up from Loan. I listen to sometimes professional artists who are, you know, on major labels, and their records are barely mixed correctly in stereo, much less, you know, this new Atmos standard. And also it's like, okay, are they going to, for you to be, do you have to be a mixer and somebody who does this, do you have to be certified in Atmos engineering?
That's a good question.
You know, I think what they are doing is, you know, like you said, putting up paywalls and just, because now everybody with GarageBand and who can get Pro Tools can essentially put out what is considered now to be a professional recording.
Yep.
And maybe this, you never know, if you start peeling the layers back, and I'm a conspiracy dude on this, this could be a whole thing by the record companies. So they stop people from, you know, sneaking through the cracks and not paying the fees, and all of a sudden they have a song like that blows up and winds up being bigger than anything that they've paid for. Like, I guarantee you, nobody in the record industry was happy for Glorilla's that song, Let's Go, FNF. Nobody.
Llama Llama.
Llama Llama, red pajama, Reese's story, Reese's mama.
Yeah, they didn't want that to work, because here is a song that you had to play on the radio that got all this play in the clubs that nobody paid for.
Yeah.
You know, it was just such an organic hit that you couldn't act like you didn't hear it or see it. And if you have this new standard for getting on the playlist that not only has a financial barrier, but a technical proficiency barrier, you're going to keep songs like that off of playlists and try to do the best you can to keep them out of people's consciousness. So the people on these major labels who the promotion staff has spent $150,000 to try to make hits and get into the consciousness of these program directors and these music directors. You know, I'm looking at it from that level where you're trying to create barriers to keep people who can make a song independently
out of the space of the places where major labels have spent the money. You know, because like I said, I think we've all seen like Wendy Day. Yeah. When she speaks on how much it is.
That's their podcast. It's really good.
To get a song the radio and to get things really moving, especially for a new artist. You know, when Glorilla and Hit Kid recorded a song and then 30 minutes later recorded a video and all of a sudden that's the biggest song of the summer. No, we got to stop that.
I don't think it's really going to put a damper on any of that though. Because
so?
Just because Apple was saying to get on our playlist, I can make my own playlist featuring the artists that I want to be on here, and right. It's still on there. It's just not one of the essential playlists on Apple. Me personally, I don't even have Apple Music, so I don't listen to any of those playlists anyway.
I don't either.
So Spotify, the news that came with that in the video was that Spotify is building their Atmos studio, probably to follow suit in the near future. And so that becomes the question is like, what level of paywalling are we actually looking at?
Yeah.
Does it really matter? You know, sure, there's going to be.
But
shoot,
you also have to think of all the equipment that everybody clear around with everything music has to do. So it's almost like they're saying we're the only people you can come to that have your music sounding like this.
Right.
But there's a lot more people I can go to. So I just don't go to you.
What do you mean, though?
Because I mean, if you have this Atmos mix or whatever.
Right.
In order for us to hear it how it's supposed to be heard. You're supposed to have a good sound system, right?
I guess.
I mean, because I'm pretty sure that if I'm just putting some regular earbuds in, I'm not hearing it the same way.
I'm guessing if they're just stereo.
Right.
Or something.
So, I mean, you have to be banking on everybody going out, dropping bank so, on all of this stuff.
I think that's
in
cool.
Order
that's
to
more
hear
to.
It, right?
So, I think that's part of what I was saying.
To your point.
Apple's infrastructure, right? So, right. If you think about it from an Apple angle, it's phones, it's Apple earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. Like, they're. If you buy an Apple phone, then you can listen to the Atmos experience. So it's from a commercial standpoint, it's really pushing people to buy more Apple stuff.
Mm. I'm still cool.
I mean, I am too.
but I could see this being, to Lone's point, I could see people getting attached to it because it's
Well, people
it's
are Apple, already attached right? to Apple anyway.
That's what I'm saying. So that actually makes it.
Now you have to buy
from a marketing standpoint, that makes it.
Now you have to buy these Apple things. And then to Jay's point, who knows how much of that is behind it as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like, I didn't think about.
Is it about the mix or is this a marketing?
Yeah, I don't.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, yeah, we want to push out this technology. We want it to be a great experience for our users. That's
this is almost like a laser disc.
It's not I don't think they care about our experience. Nah. They care about a way to keep certain.
And be first.
Song, yeah, to make sure that the people involved, because a lot of these, look, Spotify has investment from these major labels.
Okay? Facts.
And when you start, you know, like I said, peeling the layers away, you understand, like, it's not about our experience. It's about maintaining their profit margins and creating certain barriers. So like, the people who are taking 80 and giving out 20, they only want the people who are the artists who are getting somehow figure out a way to get 80 and or 20 goes to the major label system or any of these systems. You know, they want to keep as many of those people out as possible. And with embracing this technology that may like, honestly, I have a title that has Atmos.
Mm.
Maybe it's because I'm using it through my phone and I'm using it through some headphones that I got off of Amazon, you know, for $20 or $30. I can't tell the difference. It's nothing. The experience is not special to me. I saw there's an app on my Xbox to where you can have like there's an Atmos app, but I'm like I don't see the point playing you know this nice. through my Xbox when I'm playing through this flat screen TV that's like 8 or 9 years old and I don't have a sound bar or a surround sound system
and the crazy thing is too is like we still like as people that mix anyways we try to mix in the worst possible like the approach is always like cool. When I check my mixes, I check on a phone, I check in my car, I check on these horrible speakers over here, I check on these ones, even though I mix in good speakers.
Right, right.
And so it's like...
So the car test.
Who cares what it sounds like on a $10,000
rig? Yeah, exactly.
Rig. Most people don't have that.
Yeah. That's how it's going to be consumed. Mm-mm. Like, that's how it's... And, more 9 times out of 10, that's how it's going to be consumed.
And even though the technology is there, like, to your point, like, most of the records I hear now are, they sound like they're mixed for a phone. Like, they don't even, most of the mixes aren't even very good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm not sold on it, man, because, I mean, the two apps that you're talking about to use it, I don't subscribe to either one of them.
Well, you said Tidal. I didn't even know Tidal has an option.
I didn't know either.
Well, Tidal has an option, so you can have the regular option and
the hi-fi lossless option. But, you know, I don't, you know, after the, because I used to get it through my phone carrier, and now they've switched over. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they're not paying us. And once they switched over and I just subscribed directly to Tidal, like, it changed it. And I was like, well, whatever I lost, I don't care. I can still listen to the majority of my library. Yeah, and sure. I can't tell the difference a lot of times anyway, because I'm not listening to it in $10,000 speakers.
No, I'm not an audiophile like that to the point where I would even care. It's kind of the same thing as when you talk about something that's 320 versus 120. In certain settings, you can tell it, but in certain settings, you can't.
But I can't. A lot of times, I can't tell the difference between 320 and 192.
Yeah, that.
But,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. But there is a
wave
difference.
Wave versus MP3 is different.
Well,
in my opinion,
because it's
lossless versus But even still, 320 and wave, you have to have a specific type of ear to really hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I would say 320 to 190, what is it, 192?
192. Yeah.
And lower, I can tell the difference between those two. And 128, I can always tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I can tell when people are playing.
Especially in big systems.
Yeah, like, and we're talking about, like,
You're not supposed to DJ with a YouTube song.
Kilobytes per second. Like, that's how they measure the quality of, you know, all those MP3s that you downloaded off of LimeWire back in the day. Tough. Like, I can tell when you're playing those out.
Them mugs is 90s.
Yeah, so I've seen people try to get away with playing 96 kilobyte per second. You know, come on now. But I think the minimum you should be playing if you are playing out in the club is 192. Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of pushing.
You can EQ your mixer to make it sound better if you know what you're doing.
But if you're playing those 128 kilobyte songs that you stole off of LimeWire, I'm definitely going to know.
Yeah.
I mean,
First of all, I can hear the DJ drops in them.
Yeah.
So you really need to stop that.
That too.
At the end of the day, this sounds like a exclusive members only type push.
And I don't want a membership.
You know what I'm saying?
I do want to experience it, though. I don't mind going somewhere, sitting and actually experiencing this sound, but I'm not invested to the point where I'm about to go out and buy equipment and earphones and earbuds.
Not for the music. Not for the music. I'm not sold on the music portion. I feel like maybe from an experience of, like, watching, like, an immersive thing. Like, if I'm watching, I don't know,
Glory.
Yeah, button up that collar.
Let's say I'm watching Glory, right? You know, like, that might be cool, because then you can literally experience stuff around you. You know, you're seeing something right here, right?
Right.
And then this is your point of view. So, yes, it would be maybe cool to experience what's going on around the
camera.
Especially
in a fight scene with gun shots
or something.
And
maybe it's filmed in that way, too.
Right.
Yeah, that might be cool. But music, again, I'm not super sold on it. But, again, I haven't experienced it. So, maybe...
I mean, I lean more towards what Terry's talking about, on Terry's stance. I would like to experience it, but I just don't see the benefit from a...
I don't know if it's going to add value to my life.
I don't think it's going to take off like they think it's going to take off either. Yeah.
No, I just really think, you know, with it being associated with Apple and Apple being as popular as it is, it's just, we have this, everybody else doesn't. Y'all come on over.
Yeah, they can have that mind state.
Everything that we have is geared and set up for it, and you guys will be different from everybody else.
I mean,
like,
and
that's
you can
what it
get Apple Music
as.
On an Android or whatever anyway.
True.
It's not only for Apple. So I can get the actually had Apple Music for a while on my phone.
I didn't know you could.
Yeah, you can get it on anything.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah.
I'm Team Droid, so I had no idea. Yeah.
You can put it on anything you want.
Hey,
but I'm just not invested
I just
to
got
the
my
point.
New.
Look, you just never know. It
you
might be.
You bought it for free.
It might be a situation where, like, we look up in 5 years and be like, and look at it the same way we look at HD DVD.
Yeah.
You know.
All this 4K stuff and... I mean, I still have yet to see a picture the way I'm supposed to be seeing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And they've had this 4K stuff out.
Like,
now it's on 8K now.
Oh, really?
And
is that where it's at?
I'm telling you, yeah. And I still haven't seen it to where all these colors are so fluid. Because, I mean, when you're in the store, they have a
they have it
display.
Calibrated to make
yeah,
it seem
calibrated
like, yeah.
to make it look all beautiful and pretty and all that stuff.
It does look cold in the stores.
But everything's not made that way.
Right.
A lot of people are still doing 1080p.
Yeah. That's everybody that's watching us in 1080p right now.
Exactly,
talk to them, Lo. Talk to them.
I still see people who are you know, they do their content for YouTube in 4K. And I'm like, at this point, why?
Yeah, it doesn't make even the video game systems.
You can go up to 8K and watch in 8K on YouTube, though.
Yeah.
I'd love to see
if it's shot in 8K.
If it's shot in 8K. Yeah.
And honestly, for
imagine the uploads.
For what the bandwidth that you're using up, especially say we decided we were going to shoot in 4K, you know, an hour's worth of 4K is the amount of bandwidth. It's ridiculous,
right?
You know, and it just wouldn't be worth it, honestly, because to sit and watch us talk
in 4K,
honestly, at 1080p, it's just fine.
I don't we could see probably get away with 720p. Grass, I
mean, we just don't do it.
720p drives me crazy. Yeah. But.
I don't need to see that water on the blade of grass, though. It's not that deep to me.
Yeah.
It looked good in the store, though, don't it?
It looked good in the store. Like, I ain't gonna lie.
Our two-hour episodes, when I grab the video off of it, it's about 32 gigs. So imagine what that is going to be in 4K.
No.
Ain't nobody got time for that, huh?
Don't. I think I have a 4K TV, but I've never used the 4K settings on there.
Well, have you? I mean, because I know you have the newest Xbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, have you tried to like mess with the settings on there?
So I mess with the Xbox with the because there's actually a whole separate menu for video game settings on there. So I did do that, but to me, I really don't see anything much different. I mean, it does look better than the previous Xbox, but it's not crazy different to the where like, oh my God, this is, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, the Flesh said it ain't about 4K or 8K. HDR is what makes the pictures pop.
Well, yeah, the HDR cable.
Yeah,
and I have that set up too, and it's not enough for me to just be like, wow, this is worth all that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm still on it. I still have my Xbox One X that I won from Taco Bell. And, you know, when they show the difference between what Madden looks like on last generation Xbox One X, it was the first one that was supposed to have some 4K, you know, situations going on, and the Xbox One X. And maybe it's because they're still trying to straddle the line between this generation and the last generation. I just don't see it yet. Not to the point where I'm like, oh, I have to run out and get one of those. And plus, there's, you know, I can still, you know, there's no game where I'm like, I have to get that.
The
not
processor's
yet.
Faster.
Oh, and the RAM and like, and definitely there's a difference as you see in the loading times with the solid state drive.
Yeah, but once you actually get to the gameplay itself, I mean, it's a little more colorful, but I don't see it to the point where it's very, very noticeable.
No, I mean, like, because, you know, the last Halo that came out, I was like, okay, I mean, I guess I can. I was like, I can't. It plays just fine on my Taco Bell Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
When you say Taco Bell Xbox.
When you turn it on, does it do the bell thing?
No, I didn't get that one. That would be dope, wouldn't it? I didn't get that one.
You get a Crunchwrap Supreme every time you cut it on.
I just remember, you know, because, you know, you think nobody wins, like Monopoly at McDonald's. You think, don't nobody actually wins this stuff.
There's a whole documentary about that Monopoly.
Oh, yeah, about how the Mafia got involved?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping on whatever y'all talking about with that.
You but, remember
Monopoly at McDonald's?
I saved the text from when I won that Taco Bell Xbox One.
Stickers used to be on the side of the fries and you could pull
the fries.
Yeah. Oh, you won was
you
more
fries.
You
got a supersize, you got two of them.
You
get two pull tabs.
Did you ever partake in
what?
Monopoly.
I think everybody played McDonald's Monopoly.
I mean, I never went to McDonald's enough to actually really play it.
I got some free fries. I did get that. Yeah.
No,
I was hype about that.
No. Were you really hype about
winning
free fries?
You know, you get your free fries. You get large fries.
Mike
you
likes free things.
Wow.
He does.
I mean, we all like free. Oh, you know what?
Thank you.
You know what he doesn't like?
Mike,
if you got him $250 in food stamps.
I'm definitely taking that.
No, but you would have been responsible with it. You wouldn't make it seem like we were bad people for wanting to get tomahawk steaks and shrimp having a good time with it.
I got me a tomahawk in the freezer right now.
See,
there you go.
Food stamps?
We all like free things, but Mike is a free thing connoisseur.
He don't know how to pour beer either.
I just poured it on the side, man. It's nice and frothy.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Why would you set that in front of me?
I don't think there's a phone with
working. These are the reasons why. Somebody's gonna wake up one day and choose violence against Mike.
Not at all, man.
Wait till you go back to the office.
Look, man, at the end of the day, I'm waiting on loan to get this Atmos set up so I can come over here and experience it.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, man. So
confused.
Let's go ahead and talk about this next topic. So this one's come across before, but I haven't, and to my knowledge.
We've talked about this type of situation many times.
Manny Fresh, though?
Not Manny Fresh specifically, but
Manny Fresh, he sold his catalog to a company called Reservoir Media, who's also known as Reservoir Media Management. They're based out of New York. It's called Reservoir Holdings Incorporated as well. And Manny says, it's great to be joining up with Faith Newman, who's a member of the board and the entire Reservoir team. He says, I'm grateful for their support and I know they'll take care of my music. What is that? Like, that's weird to me because the publishing is involved. Everything is involved for his catalog. But he says they'll take care of my music.
If he says so. That's, I mean, at the end of the day, me personally.
What am I missing here, bro?
Nothing. I mean, if people want to sell their music, they can sell it. Because you can't take it with you at the end of the day.
You can't.
But
you can't.
I would, me, if I was to do it myself, if I had family members, I would somehow cut them into the deal.
Thank you.
To where if anything were to happen to me or in the, you know what I'm saying, in the distant future, my family would get some kind of percentage of it.
Benefit off my legacy.
Yeah, so I wouldn't necessarily sell the whole thing.
Okay.
I would keep a certain percentage for them. I mean, because that's what we do it for, right?
I would agree.
For legacy and for long-term benefits. That's the only thing that I would personally do. But I don't see anything wrong with actually selling it.
See, I like your train of thought as it relates to keeping a portion for so that my fam can be cut in for generations.
Right.
Right? Like, because once you give it up, whatever the lump sum is, which was not, to my knowledge, unless I missed it in this article, was not announced. But
it's gone at that point.
It's exactly.
And if we know the key to success in America is built on legacy.
Right.
Because there's people whose families are still pretty much on top of things based on some stuff that happened in the 1800s.
Right.
Generational wealth.
Is all set up to where now my relatives hundreds of years from now are still eating off of this.
And they'll be straight.
Exactly.
Do they have a number?
I didn't see a number in the article that I pulled from
there
Vibe.
There was a number. I had seen a number. I can't remember what the number is.
Yeah, from what I saw on Vibe, I did not see a number.
Though.
Yeah, it's going to be
sources, millions.
Manny's catalog is stupid. You got to remember.
But at the same time, how much, you know, what does he get to sell considering he was the producer? You know, but also there has to be a situation where the actual performer, and we talk about mechanical rights and performance rights, like what, because Manny Fresh, for all I know, he has one actual solo album.
Well, it says includes both publishing and recorded music rights.
Okay.
So that's.
But we also know how jumbled the situation was at Cash Money.
It probably still is.
Yeah.
That may be why he went and liquidated too.
But the thing is with Manny Fresh too, His splits are going to be different because a lot of his production wasn't samples.
Well, this is
so
true.
He's got a lot of original compositions.
Almost none of his music is sampled.
Yeah, like, you know, he's got some here and there, but the majority of Manny's, to his credit, production is original compositions. So, you know, his splits are different.
I don't know. I understand the concept.
I mean, I'm not mad at him now. I'm just saying I would have tried to, again, like Terry said, I would have tried to keep something in the family.
When I hear when you get a certain number, what you can do, you're still talking about generational wealth, is if you don't trick it off.
That's the part, though.
You know, and there's still a situation where, like, okay, these people are going to administer my music. Is he selling off? And when they administer the music, say they put it on a soundtrack,
okay,
or it winds up being a commercial,
right?
Does he get nothing? Like, I'm under the assumption that, like, they're just having the ability. There are people who are going to sit in the office, figure where can we place these records, and then
it's going to be in a Chevy commercial.
Yeah,
definitely.
you know, real big. I can see real big in a Chevy commercial, you know, something like that.
And Manny's lump sum or whatever said amount is.
And he still gets a percentage because it is still his, you know, if he's selling everything.
That's it says publishing and recorded music rights, man, is what it says. So
it sounds like everything to me.
That sounds like everything.
But I believe he still has a right, like you was talking about, performance type things or whatever. He still has a right to perform.
That kickback, though.
But I mean, Lil Wayne is rapping on some of those beats.
True.
So what does that mean for Lil Wayne? So Lil Wayne has his own share.
Didn't he sell?
He owns.
He's only sharing his percentage of the publishing.
Okay.
Of that, yeah.
So his royalty stake.
Okay.
So it's not 100% owned by this company, so to speak.
I would just hate for, okay, say the number is 80 million. You know, I would feel some type of way if, okay, you sold this for 80 million, they find a way to make 800 off of it.
Well, they're going to. That's the reason why they bought it.
Exactly. They're not stupid for buying this.
They wouldn't get into this if they didn't see, if they didnn't have the vision to do this.
Yeah, that's the whole reason that they bought it.
But at the same time, like, of that 800 million that they make off this, how much do they give to you?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, because
if it's
once you sell it, it don't matter.
I'm not sure these are good deals.
Like in the game, somebody might sell a whole pound, or they might break that pound down and make a whole lot more off of it than they did if they sold it as a lump sum, like he did. He sold it as a lump sum.
I mean,
they're about to break all of that down and make a whole lot of money.
You know,
when
I heard about Future doing it, I was like, okay, he sold, but Future still makes music,
right?
So it's like, okay, I gave you that. But I still have this. Maybe I'll be in a situation where if I sold you this for 80 million, if you want to buy what I do next, you're going to have to come off 800 million. It's so complicated. And The thing is, we look at the numbers and be like, man, I wish somebody would give me that kind of money.
I'm telling you.
But at the same time, when you look at that kind of money,
I can't count your pockets.
Nobody's going to give you that kind of money if they don't see a 10x return from it.
Yeah. Just what's his name did the same thing most recently. Oh, dude, that's so strung out on Ashanti. Irv Gotti.
Yeah. Why you describe him that way?
I mean, I knew it was.
I knew exactly who it was.
What'd you say, Lone? You didn't have any questions. You knew exactly who that was?
Yep. He sold all his stuff, too.
For 300.
Right.
Yeah.
And
he said he did his in order to make his production company, his movie production.
Well, yeah,
because
now he's not
company.
Even in music.
Right.
So. I mean, I'm not mad at it. I just, like Terry said, to me, it's the generational wealth comment. It's the grandkids. It's that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, my family up, man.
Yeah. Just
that's where I'm at with it.
So somebody can have a piece of something.
I'm going to do it, or at least put the money that you made off of it into some trust that they're going to inherit it. But I would just hate to see, like you were saying, you sold it for 80 million and they made 800 million off of it, because that's going to happen. So yeah. Whoever is coming up is going to see that. They're going to witness that and be like, well, I mean, I'm well off, but I could have been a whole lot more well off.
As long as they don't do them like they did.
My great-great-great-grandfather hadn't sold the catalog off.
Yeah, if they didn't do them like, what was that group? The Beach Boys, do y'all know that story?
Uh-uh.
Like, basically, like, the Beach Boys' dad was their manager.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know business. And so he sold, like, all their songwriting, all their publishing for like maybe $3 million.
Mm. Oh man.
And it was
tough.
It might have been a lot.
It might not even been that much. You know, and you know, I saw a story where it was worth like 300 million, you know, especially when they're, you know, because every group like that hits their nostalgia boom.
Yeah.
And
once
theirs hit and everybody started going back and rediscovering Pet Sounds and they started re-releasing, you know, the stereo mixes and all this. And it was like, you sold that almost out of spite.
Who bought it? Michael Jackson?
Shoot.
Probably.
You say,
it wasn't Michael Jackson, but like, you know, there was like it wasn't a great biopic about the Beach Boys.
And Kevin Love's uncle one of the Beast Boys, or is his dad one of the Beast Boys? It's
Kevin
one
Love
of the two.
The basketball player?
Yeah, he's related to one of the
I think
Beast
his
Boys
uncle somehow. Is one of the Beast Boys, low-key.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I know this sounds wild as hell, but if you ever had, everyone who's watching and listening, you need to check out Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. It's one of my favorite albums. It is incredible.
That's big, man.
Like, you know, it's
good vibration.
No, not that. That's a different Beast Boys. That was a different era for the Beach Boys.
I'm about to ride home jamming that.
That's actually a good record, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, you put on Pet Sounds, you're
like,
I think
that's Lone's ringtone.
You're like, what is this? Like, I didn't, you know.
They ain't getting no money off that falsetto.
Man. There's some instrumentals on there that I play for people, and they'll be like, whoa, whoa, this is the Beach Boys? I'm like, yes, this is the Beach Boys.
Skating through your house in your socks with Beach Boys
with the
playing.
Beach Boys. Look, you know,
Christmas morning.
You understand, like, you know, I grew up in a very black household, so we didn't hear it. I had to rediscover the Beach Boys later on, specifically Pet Sounds, because there was no Beach Boys records in my dad's collection.
Yeah. Pet Sounds is like what, like cats and stuff?
Yeah, that's exactly what it
they're
is.
They're the Beach Boys, so it's probably orcs.
I hate them.
Whale sounds.
Whales, orcas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, okay. Well,
yeah, so yeah.
No, man.
Pet Sounds is in probably my top 10 albums of all time.
Right. Man, yes. I've never heard you say that.
I mean, I've it just never came up. It.
I don't know if it. I heard I'll you say top never, 10.
Yeah. Yeah, he's brought it up before.
I'm asleep. Okay. No,
it's right up there with, I'm telling you.
I still
right
haven't there, heard it, though.
Which Ice-T album is better than that?
As much as I love Ice-T, there's none of his albums are in my top 10.
At least you're honest.
I would hope not, because, again, Pioneer, but,
y'all need to
not
stop.
Not a whole lot of John Blaze.
I need y'all to stop.
We give him his props, but that's where it stops.
No, because, because I still contend Ice-T has two, maybe three classics.
And I've heard all of Ice-T's albums.
Huge fan. Hey.
And he's got some really good singles.
Iconic records.
But
legendary.
As far as a whole.
Power and OG are both classics.
Nah.
Power's album cover is definitely classic.
No, the album, the actual album.
And it's got some classic songs on it. Mm. What's the one where he had the shotgun in his mouth?
How do we get talking about Ice-T?
Oh, yes. They bring it up. I don't even
bring
it up. I don't even bring
that's
up
Michael.
Ice-T.
You know Mike like to bring up old stuff.
Did you just call me Michael?
I was talking about the Beach Boys. He had to bring up Ice-T.
Hold on. Did you just call me Michael?
Nobody cares.
Oh. I never hear my name Michael, so.
Nobody cares about you, Michael.
Excited when you said that. No, any thoughts on Manny, man? I know you don't care, but I'm going to ask you anyway. We're talking about with the different angles.
I just, you know, I was just, while you guys were talking, I'm sitting here reading and I'm just looking at the specific. It includes both publishing and recorded music rights. And I'm just sitting here thinking, am I missing something? So it's like publishing is composition. Recording is the recording.
Right.
But under publishing is both stuff that gets played on the radio, which is like performing rights or if somebody like replay, like covers. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you have mechanical royalties, which is everything that is iTunes, digital, selling CDs, all that other stuff. So that's under composition. That's selling all your publishing.
Right.
Recording rights is digital performing rights, which is like if somebody plays it on like Pandora, something like that. And then recording revenue is not mechanical, is what it says here. But I had to go back and just relook at this. I was like, am I missing something? Because it's just, I don't understand why people sell it.
Well, especially Manny Fresh, because
I don't get it.
Since so many of his compositions are original and without samples, now we're getting to the point where people are sampling Manny Fresh.
I just don't understand
that. See, when we talked about the original composition part, to me, that makes me want to hold on to it longer because the pie is different to me. There's not a lot of sample clearances. There's not multiple producers or writers listed. Like the majority of his catalog is him. Like to me, I'd hold on to that longer than
Didn't
I would
Bieber
if I was
sell some of his catalog too.
A whole bunch of people have done this.
I think this is just the thing now. Sell some of your stuff off.
I mean, but he's selling all of it, isn't he? It said like 15 records.
I just don't understand
how 15
he can...
song or 15 albums that he has associated with Cash Money is what I read. And so the last time we talked about this, the deal kind of made sense because there was still like splits involved somehow.
Right.
He said it's only 15 songs.
15 albums.
On Cash Money. How the hell is only 15 songs?
But I don't understand like why you wouldn't keep a small percentage of it.
I don't either.
See?
That's the part that's like confusing to me. And so that's every time I see these articles, there's just not enough information.
It's almost like
I just checked out. I just literally just checked out like six different articles on this and none of them says really anything.
There's nothing that we missed.
These companies are telling them it's either all or nothing.
Probably.
They 100% are because they know to Jay Moore's point, he mentioned they know the overall value and the potential of the catalog.
They
going to
get the money. What's his name? Montel Jordan is on a commercial right now singing This Is How We Do It with Diddy. Why is Diddy? He's in the production room.
But you know what's wild? Is
I've sampled.
That too.
It wasn't even produced by Puffy.
But this is the thing. Because Montel Jordan got into some tax trouble, he had to sell off his songwriting and his publishing. Mm. So he had to get permission to sing his own song
record. Yeah.
On that commercial.
In that commercial.
Damn.
Somebody else gets the majority of the money.
How crazy
is that?
He gets
paid for the commercial, but he doesn't get paid for the music.
That's crazy.
You know, and look, this is the thing that kind of, this should bring a certain level of clarity. And maybe somebody should tell this to everybody before they do this, is Between the Sheets by the Isley Brothers has been sampled or reinterpolated something like 50 or 60 times.
Absolutely.
And I'm not sure how their publishing and songwriting situation is, but that should have been like...
Should have took care of his tax evasion. I'm just saying.
He said what he said.
You had to do Ron Wise like
that. Yeah.
Don't tell the truth about people.
But the thing is, like...
I hate you.
Say they just own 50% of it. Think about what 100% of
10%.
Between the Sheets looks like. You know, I remember when, what's his name, sampled for Overnight Celebrity. And it was
Twista
Overnight Celebrity. And gosh, you'll have to look
produced
it up.
Produced by Kanye.
Produced by Kanye. And the guy who actually made the song, his songwriting, his paperwork was right. Basically, he went to the mailbox one day, was seeing six-figure checks off of something he had nothing to do with.
Lenny Williams, ain't it?
Lenny Williams, that's right. And so he was seeing big checks because that song was a hit. Twister, you told her right. I make you a celebrity overnight. And it was on an album that went platinum.
Kamikaze.
Did Kamikaze go platinum?
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
That was still when CDs were selling.
Thank you.
I mean, we were streaming, but CDs
were streaming. We were downloading.
I don't think we were streaming. Yeah,
but we were buying. If we wanted to listen to that song,
You could get an iPod then.
Yeah, you could probably buy it through iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that was still a purchase.
Yeah, but you had to have something to play it on.
Do you know how many times you got to stream something for it to make 99 cents now?
Yeah.
True.
So, you know, so he saw six-figure checks off of somebody just sampling his music because he had his paperwork together. So I don't know. Like I said, this is above my pay grade. But sometimes when I see things like, I was like, you should have held out for something more. But I don't know what the actual number is.
I'm looking at Manny Fresh, his production discography. Now Lone said 15 albums, for what he saw. A lot of his underground stuff. Dude's been producing since 87. Let's get that out there.
I mean, it's everything he's done. It's his publishing catalog. But
it's all of it. Okay.
But it includes 15 albums that he did with Cash Money.
Yeah, so you're talking about
that
400
degrees.
That includes
what he did with Jeezy, too.
You know, everything
I think
that
his
he
first
did.
Release was...
since the 80s.
True story from BG in 95. I'm talking about No Limit. Mm. Because that would have been No Limit.
BG was No Limit? What?
I mean, I'm sorry, Cash Money. I'm thinking Beats by the Pound. But BG's True Story.
That.
But that would have been Cash Money still, right? UNLV?
Yeah, UNLV was
I'm asleep. Okay, cool. So that's 93.
But he was doing stuff before that, too.
Yeah, he was, 87.
Because he was doing a lot of that New Orleans bounce music.
Well, he's the founder. He's the creator of the bounce sound, essentially. I mean,
which originated
from
his
production, from the production style.
The bounce sound actually originated from one sample.
Right.
And he definitely flipped it.
But it was derived from Fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the point. It was like a New York sample.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy.
But what he did with it made it what it was.
If you see who actually made that sample, it was a...
I agree, Long.
It was a white dude that made the original.
Yeah.
And it was... who's the guy that actually did the...
Lone is right, though.
Trigger Man.
Trigger Man was a song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the song that they made, but the guy that made Trigger Man, was it?
Because it was crazy. It was
a sample. Well, no, not that part.
Because that was like from
that
some
was
old
the
TV show.
That's
yeah, track.
Dragnet.
Yeah,
sample,
Dragnet.
But the thing behind it.
Yeah.
And like everybody made, I literally was just talking about in class yesterday about Manny Fresh.
Oh, for real?
And this app. Same exact thing we're talking about right now.
Yeah, it's like
you were telling your students about this?
Absolutely.
They all use that same thing. It's almost like reggaeton. You know how reggaeton is same.
Or they have, or in reggae where they have the rhythms.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
Where you'd
good
be like,
call.
Oh, okay.
Good call.
Like there's so much music based on these five or six rhythms.
Yep. I mean, Manny Fresh actually broke that down in the Rapture series on Netflix?
It was in the Hip Hop Elements or Hip Hop Evolution series.
I misspoke. So the Hip Hop, it was on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yes.
He broke it down with the sample, and I'm like, yeah, he definitely fathered this style. 100%.
Because think about it, on the reggae side, remember, like, No Letting Go by Wayne Wonder and Sean Paul. Mm-hmm. Get Busy, I think. They were out at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And basically had the same, you know, rhythm. Mm-hmm. You know, and now there's other songs that are, you know, are built off of that.
Yeah.
But it was just crazy where, okay, there are these two songs, reggae, that not only have like crossed over.
Was that Report Them? What was it? Or Deport Them.
Deport Them.
And then, that was I Would Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. The exact same song, damn near.
Drag Rap by the Showboys.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Lone. Yeah. Thank you.
But who made the original sample, though?
Whoever did the...
Because it wasn't who did Drag Rap. It wasn't them.
You're talking about Trigger Man, right?
No,
not even that. It was somebody outside of the whole...
Whoever did...
Well, that was Dragnet.
Whoever did...
But I'm saying that particular style that they use in New Orleans... was fathered, actually, it was a sample from somebody else.
From New York.
Yeah.
The Showboys are from New York. That was
But
drag
it wasn't them, though.
Oh.
Are you sure?
I thought it was them. No. I thought it was them that he referenced as it related to
what I thought. That's what
the bounce.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
I thought it was them. Because that's what, when he was talking about the documentary I'm talking about, mm-hmm. he referenced that record as the start to him flipping everything else.
The real name of the song was Drag Rap. But we start calling it Trigger Man because it's one of the parts in the song where he says something about Trigger Man.
Yeah, it was the show. Yeah.
It was
the Showboys.
The Showboys.
They made that.
Yeah, they made
that. That's original to them.
And that's the reference. Yeah, and that's the reference point from Manny.
Yeah, that do 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 do.
Yeah, so the real song was Drag Rap by the Showboys.
There it is.
But they started calling it Trigger Rap.
I forgot that it was called Drag Rap because, like, whenever somebody wants to hear it, they call it Trigger Man.
I'm glad Lone pulled that up because I knew he explained it perfectly.
Man,
I've
seen it somewhere where
it was written down Trigger Man.
It was, it was somebody saying that else. The sample was from somebody else altogether.
Well, my
and
guess
they start using it, and then New Orleans got a hold of it, and they start using it.
That might be that's very possible though, because they did. I'm sure that the Showboys sampled it from somebody else too.
Right, right.
But see, I was always under the assumption, and like I said, we will have to do the research, and obviously, but I was always under the assumption that record was originally from the Showboys, and then Manny took it, and then it just went. You know what I'm saying? In that region.
DJ Irv.
Because when you listen to it, it's something that could have been programmed. Like, it's not that complicated from a sample standpoint or, you know, going out to get something. That's a drum machine back then.
Yeah, but think about it. Back then, you might have had 1 megabyte of RAM in your drum machine and about 6 seconds of recording time.
Think about the SP. Like, the SP
DJ
sample.
Jimmy.
DJ Jimmy.
That's who they say is the bounce founder.
Yeah, that's who was that's who was before Manny Fresh. Let's get it right.
Yeah.
DJ Jimmy is the king of bounce. I mean, it sort of starts with him, in my opinion. When you think about all the great bounce musicians, most of them revolved around Jimmy in some way.
I think Jimmy was working well, here's the thing.
He did give him his props in the documentary.
It was that Manny created the sound for DJ Jimmy. Isn't that what it was?
Dad was like, hey, it's this dude, T.T. Tucker, and DJ Irv, they'll come to these little spots I'm doing, holes in the wall, and I'll just let them rock. They jamming off of some of the beats that, you know, like you playing.
Isn't that what it was?
I have to go back and do my research.
We'll have to watch this again, but somebody from New Orleans is definitely going to...
Somebody from New Orleans is having a fit right now.
Y'all got to correct us, though. Don't come in mad. Like, y'all got to correct us. We not trying to diss anybody. We trying to get it right.
Nah, this ain't no diss at all. This is our history.
Yeah, we trying to get it right. But either way, everybody that we're mentioning is intertwined in this sound. But Manny, from my standpoint, from us in the Midwest and growing up, it's like, I've always associated that sound... with him. I like how Manny approaches it when he's been interviewed about it, because he's always, you know, respectful and cordial to his founders and the people before him, and also the people that helped him get to where he was, where he became Manny Fresh and that sound and where it came from. Sometimes that gets
lost.
It gets lost, you know what I'm saying? And people won't tell the story right. So kudos to him for actually giving everybody
props. Because
they
put themselves at the center of the story.
Facts.
Even if they had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Manny, get your paper, man. I just think you might... Mike could just of
like, and we, you know, there might be some details. There's some details we might not know.
He
might have a whole another clip of stuff ready to go.
Could be,
and he'd be like, they can have that.
Manny might have a percentage that we don't even know about. So
yeah, there weren't very many details in any of the articles.
Very vague. But hey, get that paper, man. Your family gonna be straight. I know that. I don't know the number, but you know, I know it was a good number.
The thing is, he might have plans for that money that we have no idea about. Same way Irv did.
It's the same thing with P and
buy a roller coaster.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the greatest investment.
No, maybe not. But I like roller coasters.
Would you buy one?
I had the money.
Where would you put it?
I had Manny Fresh sell my catalog money, maybe.
You'd buy a roller coaster for no reason?
Hey, who knows, maybe.
Where would you put it?
If I had that kind of money in my backyard.
Maybe in my backyard.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, you want to come
How much it costs to ride the loan coaster?
I don't know. So first I would need property like Kid Rock. Right? So I'd need a mansion and I would need a backyard with woods and
you
a river.
The loan coaster.
So that I could, you know, like shoot cans if I needed to as well.
He's mad at the cans.
You need well off family members with land before you can get started.
And then apple orchards and horses and whatnot.
Yeah, I do all that first.
Galloping.
And then have some sort of.
But for the loan coaster, what's the ticket?
It depends what the coaster's like.
Oh, man. Did y'all see 6ix9ine's new single, WAP?
Absolutely not.
Y'all didn't see this.
I think this is how you say it.
It's shot in Uganda.
Who cares?
Yeah, this is definitely a who cares moment.
It's shot in Uganda.
Who cares?
He's singing.
Who cares?
And I guess he's going all the way from rapping to singing, and he's giving out money to kids
don't
in Uganda.
Care.
He always goes somewhere and give out some damn money. Yeah.
Jay Moore, man, I guess I got to
keep catching fades is what he need to keep doing.
Well, he already caught. Well, he just caught one.
I know he got one. I said keep.
Oh, keep catching.
Continuous.
Yeah, plural form.
Jay Moore.
Not singular.
What do you think about this, man? Is this a legit pivot or a clear reach?
Absolutely
because
not.
You're in Uganda giving out money to kids, singing in Spanish.
There's nothing he can do.
Okay.
That will get that snitch jacket off of him.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you. Look, he could come and give me some money and he'd still be snitch.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Snitch.
Yeah, I'd get on here and call him a snitch and he'd be like, but I gave you some money.
Appreciate it.
I was like, the truth is the truth.
What needs to happen?
Talk to me, man.
So we just had the Half Breed album.
Yes.
So we need to have the Rat Fink album featuring him.
Rat Fink.
And what's my guy? YSL.
Oh,
Gunna.
Gunna, yeah.
It needs to be 6ix9ine and
Gunna.
They
could have a whole snitch tour. I think Boosie said they could have a snitch tour.
He was like, man, we need to put all the rats on the same tour, man, and just pay all the rats. I was like, well, Boosie's right. The rats would get paid, so.
Look, rats in the trap.
Look, in all seriousness, like, here's a
Boosie
kid.
Didn't say that.
Sadly, anything American translates overseas, and they don't care about the same "quote unquote" politics and ethics that we care about. You got to understand, like, you know, I got some friends who over in not Sierra Leone, Kenya. They're like, they still play R. Kelly over here.
They don't care
nothing about that trial.
Because he was talking about giving out passports.
You know, so you got to understand the same things that we are uptight and are concerned with here in the United States of America. It doesn't translate to what happens overseas. So, you know, he could go over there, give away some money, sing some songs. And, you know, maybe African or Ugandan YouTube is popping like that. And he can go ahead and get his streams up. But, you know, I don't.
The stream numbers are crazy.
You know what? And that's fine.
Are they?
But you know what? I mean, there are people here who aren't, you know, who don't care about the quote unquote street life. Yeah. You know, they look because someone said, could Gunna come back and you know, be out here pushing P or whatever he was doing before.
Right.
Like if he come if he gets
pushing
the right
paperwork.
Beat and
I see you.
Pushing paperwork. Yeah, we got to repeat that. That
I
was
like
good.
That.
That was
I
good
like
line.
That.
That was a good line.
That's a good one there. I like that.
Look, everybody, I don't care who you are or what you've done. You are one hit song or one, you know, 20 sack or 30 point a game season away from redemption. It is what it is.
Man. Jay Moore, he wrote, Uganda, Africa, I love you.
No, you don't.
He wrote alongside a video clip of him handing out $100 bills to children. I can't wait to edit this video. I'm so happy I flew 22 hours.
You didn't edit the video because you didn't edit, you know.
I'm so happy I flew 22 hours just to make sure you guys were in this video. WAPE music video, hopefully this Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, he flew 22 hours to where, okay, these people aren't going to fight me on site.
Right, there
gonna,
we go.
They ain't going to jump on me. I'm going to throw some money.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm going to still have my
heavy vulture
guards,
vibes.
Like I said, if he gave me some money, I wouldn't punch him in the face, but I would still call him a snitch.
Yeah.
I don't even care that he's, I mean, I'm not a part of that life. It's the snitching aspect. I just don't like him because he's just a corny individual who doesn't make music I enjoy, and I don't like anything that he does. So outside of just the clout chasing that he constantly does on different aspects of it, like, yeah, he's a snitch.
Yeah, I thought he was trash before he was a snitch.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Before he was, I didn't mess with him either.
That's
so
when it's, like, get the blicky out and the blicky out. I didn't like none of that. Didn't like it.
So, I mean, like, the snitching stuff just adds to it to me. It's just
he
like,
already
it's
was
like,
a cornball prior
just,
to that.
It's just it adding
more corny.
Just like, ugh.
I mean, it's just.
He's a horrible person, like Jay Moore says.
He's a horrible person.
It's one of those things where we see. We just talked about one of our favorite vultures in Kid Rock, this previous episode. And it's like, this dude is just taking it to the next level. To Lone's point, the snitching is just added on to the fact that you're really a cornball and you're a vulture. Like this right here.
It's like open clout chasing.
Thank
I
you.
Can't wait to get there and film.
Exploit these African children.
Like, he's saying the quiet part out loud.
Thank
you.
You
might as well have been playing in the arms of an angel behind it.
Well, we can make that edit.
Right. Can we take some of the video and put that behind there? Because that's really what he's doing, bro.
It's
just
doing.
Pandering, man. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get these folks on my side, throw the baby some bread, and all is well. As I turn myself into a pop star and cross over because I was just shooting people in my music.
Hey, man, have you seen the numbers? Like, look, Mr. Beast, everybody knows who Mr. Beast is?
Yeah.
The biggest YouTube guy. Like,
yeah. Right.
He started doing, like, stuff, all of his content in different languages because he could make like just as much money as he was making, but in a different language as well.
Dang. Hustle.
That's smart.
There's plenty
can't
of.
Can't knock the hustle, right?
That is smart.
That is smart.
There's plenty of opportunities in the world for somebody like him.
Look.
6ix9ine.
No, that's the thing, because a lot of times we think America is the world.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Not at all.
In the 80s, they told us we are the world.
Well, see.
We were the children.
That's the world was.
That was just Americans saying that.
Ah, well.
Hey, check this out, Jay Moore.
Then they followed it up with Hands Across America.
Mm. Yeah, hey,
just like that. Just like that Jordan Peele movie.
Yeah.
What?
With all the hands across.
Oh, yeah, that was legit.
That was man.
Check this out, man.
All right, I'm checking.
I want to read another quote. I decided to jump.
I love it when you read.
Thank you, ma'am. You know, take a look.
make sure you the commas. Pay attention.
Yeah, man, it's crazy out here. I decided to jump into the Latin
market. Don't F up the commas.
I decided to jump into the Latin market because one, I am of Latin descent, and two,
okay.
Not the main reason, but I signed a $3 million deal in 2020 for a Latin album that I never delivered.
Well, I think that is the reason.
Sounds like it to me.
You signed a $3 million deal that you have to deliver one, sir.
But I never expected to receive the support that you guys have given me. I want to say thank you and I love you. Heart emoji.
You are not welcome. You don't say thank you to me.
He's not talking to you. He's talking to
So why
to
did he do a
people.
Latin album in Uganda?
Because
or
he's
a Latin song in Uganda.
I mean, he's not smart.
It doesn't even make sense.
Does that make sense?
He's from the school of clout.
He is from that's his era, too. He's from the school of clout.
You know, he's
it's not
it out.
Supposed to make sense, right?
Maybe he'll make an Ugandan album next.
Run his fade, man.
If the deal is right, though, Long, deal got to be right. He don't care about them babies in Uganda.
Shout out to Planet Fitness or where he got dealt with. Shout out to everybody who beat him up before he went to jail. Shout out to my whole St. Louis squadron that got up with his glamour. I appreciate y'all.
Long, long.
He had to put that out there to make sure. No,
he came to St. Louis and they let him know what time it was. Dang. So shout out to y'all, man.
Long, he said of descent, just
Latin
so y'all
descent?
Know. Yeah, just so y'all know before y'all start trying to hate.
He's not
I am.
Of Ugandan descent.
At all.
So
not
it
even close
even
to
make
it.
Sense for you to be in Uganda.
That sounds like pandering to me.
Maybe he doesn't know that Latin America is in America. Maybe he thinks it's Latin Africa.
Oh.
Maybe.
Somebody probably told him that. And he
Africa does have a lot of small countries.
Has a lot of countries.
Yeah.
None
of them are Latin, though.
No.
I don't think
most of them are actually pretty big, realistically.
Yeah, actually.
don't think he thought about anything other than pandering at this point and just trying to clout chase.
I don't think he thought.
There's not too much thought in this one, right?
No. Okay. He's having Cameron brain fog.
Yeah.
Pink fog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man.
He's having the fog that, you know, you shoot the to find out what the baby is. Having
that gender reveal.
Yeah. Having gender reveal fog.
Yeah.
Dude. We didn't even do the top ranked choice vote.
Which was
E-40 kicked out of the Suns.
Can we still talk about that?
If you want. We don't have to. But
I don't really have a whole lot to say.
Yeah, but
I
shouldn't have done it.
I mean, it was a Karen situation, and they tried to play him, and they actually did play him. And he wrote a very eloquent statement as to what happened and how he explained everything.
He did. But he did break it down real smooth.
Shout out to 40 for handling that like he was supposed to. Yeah. But basically, he just summoned up, like, just described privilege. Exactly what we would think. It's just privilege. Like, they saw argument, came on the tail end, and was like, he's the bad guy. Let's get him out.
Big black man.
And I hope he gets bread. I hope he sues them. I hope he finds a way to get something out of it. I really do. Because the way they tried to play him when he was exiting, you know, when they were taking him out, and all the fans are just, you know.
He deserves an apology at the bare minimum.
He deserves an apology from the franchise.
Golden State need to win, so most of the games could have been at home.
Well, yeah, that's true, but
you could have flipped the script.
They owe 40 an apology because this is a dude that always goes to games. He goes to Golden State games all the time, and I've never seen any issues before.
And the thing is, like, Sacramento should be happy that E-40 showed up to games.
I mean, Floyd was there. 40 was there. 50 Cent was there. Like, it was a nice little crowd, but don't play for it.
You know I'm smart. I can write something up for you.
Listen, man. His statement was fired on.
Nah, he went off on that statement.
I don't know who wrote that mug.
He wrote it.
Oh, fair enough.
We're talking about E-40 here.
I'm going to give E-40.
You know I'm smart.
I'm going to give E-40 his P's. He probably wrote that. 100%.
Not no PR firm.
And
he did that himself.
Nah, the way he explained it was perfect, and I hope that brother gets some bread because I'm not
some
surprised.
Kind of compensation.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Fans are getting a little too involved in sports.
Did y'all see Russell Westbrook run up in the suite?
Did you see that
told
one?
Told old boy he need to watch his mouth.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's like,
now,
wow.
Phoenix low key, because that was a suite that they had and, you know, like COVID and going through all that. But the fact that the players can take that secret way to come out and they get that close to the fans. He was owning. Literally, they walk right by you to go back out towards the court. And to have that experience as a fan, you know, especially with Westbrook, they call him Westbrick and all this other stuff. And you know Russ is not going to keep going. He's going to stop, but he's going to address you.
He's from Cali.
Yeah, like he's not about that.
Not
so,
the nice part.
I don't know, man. Fans got to chill out, bro. The term is fanatic, but some of these fans getting OC as a
y'all remember that movie, the baseball movie where the fan was crazy?
The Fan.
The Fan, yeah, that is what it was called.
With Wesley Snipes and Robert De Niro.
Yep, that was a good movie.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the thing is, like, a lot of times people think, okay, I paid for these seats, I can do whatever.
There is an entitlement that comes with a lot of the fans where they think, I can just go out here and disrespect this grown man and call him this and that and throw stuff at him.
You're going to mess around and find out.
You're going to mess around and find out one day. That's facts.
You're going to mess around and one of these dudes is going to go Vernon Maxwell on you.
Well, you know what happened to Malice at the Palace. I'll just leave it at that.
What's crazy is the
Ron Artest wasn't having it.
That documentary was so dope because the dude that actually threw the whole thing wasn't even the person that got initially stole on. Like, he's the one that's trying to grab Ron.
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, like, that's just...
It was him. Boston. It was him.
Right. Like, after you start everything and you change history, dude's like, let me just try to fake tackle Ron Artest and look like I'm a hero.
Is, like, when they got in the locker room... This is why Jermaine O'Neal didn't mess with Ron Artest for a long time. He was like, do you think we're going to get in trouble?
Maybe.
Steven Jackson was like, I knew it was a wrap.
That was our year, too. We were supposed to win.
Yes, yes, yes.
They definitely was going to the finals we was going to win the championship.
We was killing boys that year.
I agree.
Damn.
Dang.
What could have been?
All right,
wasn't
man.
That Reggie Miller's last year?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm. He's about to get him a ring and ride out. I truly believe that to this day. Call today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. We appreciate the support as always. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, share it. Patreon, pay for it, join it. We really appreciate the support as always, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
In a minute.
Bye. Mm-hmm.